welcome back to another amazing episode of the Microcom Podcast. In this episode, I talk about vertical SaaS versus horizontal SaaS, talk about which is more profitable, and I introduce a third kind of SaaS that I was going to say I completely made up. I made up the name for it. I did not make up the category. And so vertical and horizontal is often presented as a binary or a bimodal, but it's a trimodal at least. And there's a third one that I talk about in this episode. Before we dive into that, you should check out MicroConf Connect at microconfconnect.com. This is our online community and forum. We host it in Slack, and we're approaching 7,000 members. They're bootstrapped and mostly bootstrapped SaaS founders. Recent conversations in Connect, including a debate about magic sign-in links, how long you should spend diving into a niche before deciding on the product offer, how to safeguard your product from misuse during free trials, at what point in your journey should you invest in a conference booth, and more. It's a vibrant and highly moderated community, very high signal to noise. If you're looking to find and hang out with other misfits like you and I, head to microconfconnect.com. This is honestly one of my favorite YouTube videos that we've released in the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. And so I hope you enjoy it. I hope you learn something from it. And if you want to watch the visuals, click the link in the show notes or at microconf.com/YouTube. Let's dive in. Every B2B SaaS company falls into one of two buckets. They're either horizontal SaaS or vertical SaaS. And massive businesses have been built in both categories. But over the course of my 170 or so investments, I've picked up on some key differences that make one a better fit for bootstrapped and mostly bootstrapped founders. In this video, I'm gonna look at the upsides and the downsides of the two business models, explore which type sells for more, and if you stick around till the end, I'm gonna introduce you to a third type of SaaS you've probably never heard of. So grab your coffee or an Irish stout and let's dive in. I'm Rob Walling. I've started 6 companies, 5 of them bootstrapped. I've written 4 books on entrepreneurship, and I've invested in more than 170 startups. Let's start by defining horizontal SaaS. Horizontal means your tool or service is applicable across various sectors. So examples of that include a lot of the communication platforms that we use, productivity tools, project management. Examples are things like Slack, Basecamp, Zoom, or e-signature platform Signwell, scheduling software SavvyCal, and podcast hosting software Castos. All of these serve a function that are essential in a wide range of businesses, and they don't focus on a specific niche market or industry. Vertical SaaS, of course, focuses on a specific niche market or industry. Examples could include SaaS built to manage a dental practice, or a CRM built specifically for realtors, an application to track legal cases, or project management for building contractors like Builder Prime. They're a tiny seed company. Vertical SaaS focuses on depth rather than breadth. So they solve complex industry-specific challenges. And vertical SaaS, more often than horizontal, tends to be more integral to the running of a business. So they tend to not be nice-to-haves, but things that you really need. So when comparing the two, I have to speak in some generalities, but in general, horizontal SaaS will have larger TAMs. This is total addressable markets. This just means the market size that you can serve with horizontal is usually bigger. And this is intuitive, right? Because if you're going to build a CRM for any business versus a CRM just for realtors, then the odds are that the total addressable market of just realtors is smaller than every business in the world. Now, in general, horizontal SaaS can have higher churn rates. Not always, but it's a slight lean. But I'd say all other things being equal, when you have that vertical SaaS that a business relies on, you're going to have lower churn than horizontal SaaS. Horizontal tends to be a little more generic, right? General purpose, maybe undifferentiated. And oftentimes there are a lot more options that people can switch to. So therefore, there's less churn versus if you're competing in the dental space or for hair salons, there might only be 2 or 3 software products that cater to them. And lastly, horizontal SaaS tends to involve constant innovation and fierce competition. Because the markets are so large, there's a lot more funding involved. There's a lot of venture capital entering those spaces. Thus, they tend to be more competitive. So with vertical SaaS, the total addressable markets tend to be a little smaller, but you know what? They can still be massive, right? You can still have a $50, $100, $300 million total addressable market, even within a tiny little space. And as a bootstrapped and mostly bootstrapped founder, you have to ask yourself, how much revenue do I need to build a successful company? It's probably not hundreds of millions of dollars. speaking based on my experience looking across 170 investments, our vertical SaaS companies tend to have lower churn overall. And again, it comes back to that maybe lack of competition. There's more differentiation, and these vertical SaaS pieces tend to be more ingrained in the business, thus harder to switch away from. And as you know, when you have lower churn and high switching costs, it's easier to achieve one of the cheat codes of SaaS, net negative churn. I've defined net negative churn in several previous YouTube videos, but the two-sentence explanation is it's when you add zero customers in a month, but your revenue grows. Imagine that, negative churn because of expansion revenue, because of people paying you more each month if your pricing is well-architected and well-designed. You actually get expansion revenue that can lead to your churn being negative. It blows your mind if you've never heard of it before, but it is a SaaS cheat code, and the best SaaS businesses in the world have it. We've been partnering with Lemon.io for several years, and they've proven to be a great choice when it comes to hiring for a highly skilled developer to work on your project. Here are five reasons why you should consider working with Lemon.io. Number one, the time from your request to getting a candidate is just 48 hours. Number two, their developers have previously worked with tech giants like Apple, Google, Netflix, Airbnb, Intel, and Lego. Number three, they only provide senior devs with an average of 7 years experience. Number four, their talent pool covers more than 300 dev languages and frameworks. And lastly, number five, your hire comes with a zero-risk replacement guarantee. Customers of Lemon.io typically stick around for at least a year, proving they know how to gain your trust by delivering consistent results. Quit wasting time searching for a solid developer at a great price. Get in touch with Lemon.io. We have a special discount for fans of MicroConf. Visit lemon.io/microconf to receive a 15% discount for the first 4 weeks of working with a developer. That's lemon.io/microconf. Okay, so as I was saying earlier, many investors, dare I say most investors, tend to focus on horizontal SaaS because they want these huge total addressable markets, or TAMs. But when they do this, they often demand faster growth, and they have the winner-take-all mentality because they need centimillion or billion-dollar outcomes. Now, at my fund, TinySeed, we've tended to focus more on vertical SaaS. We still invest in horizontal, but vertical has tended to be a better fit for what we're looking to do and the companies we're trying to fund. Plus, we also focus on a third type of SaaS that I'm going to talk about in just a couple minutes. So you're probably asking yourself, which is better? So if you want to go public or you want to go after venture capital, you probably want to go towards horizontal software. It's better due to the massive TAMs and the ability to grow very quickly. But if you want to grow to, say, 2 to 20 million in annual recurring revenue, maybe it's 2 to 30, whatever your number is, sell for $10 million to $100 million, I think vertical SaaS in general, not in every case, is easier to grow and it's easier to sell. There are more acquirers who want to buy something with net negative churn. It's like I said in my very first book, Start Small, Stay Small. You don't have to be the best marketer in the world. You just have to be better than your competition. And when you're in a vertical niche, your competition tends to be less sophisticated and have less funding than in the big horizontal markets, so it can be easier to compete. In a second, I'm going to talk about a third type of SaaS you've never heard of, but it's another type that I think is a really good opportunity for bootstrappers and one where I've invested a lot of money. Before I do that, I have a book out. It's called The SaaS Playbook. The SaaS Playbook includes all my up-to-date thinking on how to build an incredible, mostly bootstrapped SaaS company. You can get the book at saasplaybook.com or on Amazon. And if you've already bought the book, I'd really appreciate a 5-star review wherever you can. The book has sold more than 21,000 copies to date, which is actually quite a lot for a self-published book, and it's still selling about 800 copies a month. I'd really appreciate it if you could either buy a copy. I think you'll get a ton of value from the book if you haven't read it yet. And now for the third type of SaaS. Have you heard of orthogonal SaaS? I would guess not, because I made that term up last week. But orthogonal SaaS is the term I use. Anar hates the term, by the way, my co-founder. But orthogonal SaaS is the term I use when you build for a horizontal market, but you focus on a single title or a role within an organization. So examples include horizontal tools that focus on individual titles, like SEMrush and SEO testing that focuses on the role of a marketer in a company. Apollo and FindEmail, they focus on salespeople, SDRs, BDRs, and AEs. Then there are HR tools that can be used at any company, but they focus on the HR department, like Jazz and CodeSubmit, or even developer tools like GitHub and StatusGator. Any company in any industry can use these tools, but you know exactly who your ideal customer is, or at least your buyer and user within any organization. It's a nice advantage to know who your buyer is, and I'm seeing a lot of success with folks building orthogonal SaaS in the MicroConf, TinySeed, and the broader Bootstrap community.